You're listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CFBU 103.7 FM in St. Catharines. I'm your host, Catherine Brigantino. I'd like to say a big thank you to Daniel Angrenon, the producer of Animal Voices, for his work on today's show. Dan is taking a very well-deserved vacation in beautiful Montreal, Quebec. So thanks again for your work, Dan. On today's episode, I'm thrilled to speak with Laura Goh, spokesperson for Animal Equality. Animal Equality is an international nonprofit animal advocacy organization currently active in the United Kingdom, Italy, Spain, Venezuela, and India. Animal Equality is well respected internationally for their creative and effective education campaigns, undercover investigations, and open rescues of animals from industrial farms. This is the first time that we will have the pleasure to hear from Laura Goh, although the Animal Voices team has been in conversation with Sharon Nunez Goh, the co-founder of Animal Equality, since 2006. The last time we spoke with Sharon was in June of 2011, as she was one of the 12 animal activists arrested in Spain during the largest crackdown on animal activism in Spanish history. To hear descriptions of the arrests, background, information about Animal Equality and the associated state repression, you can find that interview, along with over 300 others, on the Animal Voices website, animalvoices.ca. But today's show is dedicated to the millions of pigs who live in factory farms and are killed in industrial slaughterhouses around the world. Laura Goh is here to talk about Animal Equality's undercover investigation of the British pig industry. Animal Equality has carried out a groundbreaking 2-month undercover investigation of Harling Farm in Norfolk, UK. Over 200 hours of video footage and recorded conversations and more than 300 photos provide absolutely shocking insight into the British pig industry. Welcome to Animal Voices, Laura Goh.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, such a pleasure to have you. First off, can you walk us through the Harling Farm undercover investigation? What has the investigation uncovered about the conditions for pigs in industrial farms?
Well, I'll start with the farm is actually wasn't chosen for any reason. We were just looking for a typical British pig farm, because we wanted to expose what happens inside. And we came across this place and our undercover investigator got the job. He started working there basically as a stockman, what they call it. And he just basically was just following one of the workers as he was teaching him what he had to do as a stockman. And as days went by, he started to record and things like we can see on the video how they slapped and kicked pigs, or basically they were beating female pigs because they didn't move. Constant piglets were crushed by their mothers. I mean, so many things happened on the farm. And to be honest, on the video, you can only see a very small portion of it because it was over a 2-month period. We just wanted to show to the public that this does happen in every single farm. I mean, they're not isolated cases. We went through 2 months, so people couldn't say it was a once-off or was just they just picked a bad picture, it was a bad day with the farmer. I mean, we proved that this is a 2-month-long investigation where things were happening on the farm, where pigs were treated in a way that, well, as I was saying, yeah, I mean, the sores, the way pigs were beaten to death, for example, small piglets, newborn piglets, their teeth were clipped and their tails were, well, in this case, the tails weren't ducked, but I mean, these kind of things they have to go through, the suffering and the pain the pigs have to go through just because people demand their products. And it's terrible. And to be able to expose something like that, especially here in Britain, they've never done kind of a long-term undercover investigation, was actually very good, so the public can realize what actually goes on in these places.
So the owner of the farm, Stephen Brown, was quoted by the BBC in their initial report on February 12th, saying that we are horrified to learn what has allegedly happened and have dealt with the staff involved appropriately. So that statement from Stephen Brown makes it seem like this is an isolated incident. But as you mentioned, this farm wasn't picked for any reason in particular. It wasn't that this was any more horrible conditions than any other farm. So I mean, is it possible to think of this as an isolated incident? Is it being picked up in the mainstream media as such?
Well, basically, the media has kind of said, look, this is a typical pig farm. This is what they've found. They've been quite objective in that sense. But of course, we have the farmer's point of view, and the farmer's point of view is the owner didn't know what was happening. You know, it was just kind of bad things happen on farms, but you know, this is what usually goes on when you breed animals, and pigs do get sores, and sometimes the mother do crush their piglets. You know, these kind of things are normal, but we understand that people can get concerned. And we were just trying to say this isn't normal, in the sense of, I mean, it's not normal to breed an animal in like this just because people are demanding for their products. I mean, what we've seen, if you say that this always happens, I mean, farmers were saying pigs do get sores, they get tumors, they get hernias because you're breeding them, because people are demanding for them. Even they say, and they realize that this is actually, you know, what happens on a regular basis if people continue consuming and demanding animal products. So we were just saying, look, this is what we've seen, this is what we've exposed. These aren't isolated cases in the sense of this was happening on 2 month regular day by day. And we picked a random farm. I mean, we had no idea this was happening. We cannot prove this doesn't happen elsewhere. And it does. I mean, it's been highlighted by many other investigations and by many other groups. Every time something comes out, it's terrifying. It's what they show, the way the animals that are there and the way they get treated, and everything is just, we kind of want people to realize, you know, how many times do we have to expose these places for people to see and to understand that there's such an easy option that's choosing a vegan lifestyle and not demanding for those animals. And I mean, it's just so simple. And we just continue working to expose the animal industry. But basically, that's the message we want to give to the people.
Can you tell us about the Red Tractor Food Mark for people who aren't familiar with assured food standards that are supposedly keeping up the welfare and the quality of the end product, I guess?
Yeah, Red Tractor is kind of a quality assured label standard which tells their consumers that anything that's labeled with Red Tractor means it's high welfare standards. Basically, that the pigs or animals have been bred and brilliant conditions, and not to worry about their welfare because they already do it. But also, over 90% of farms in UK are labeled Red Tractor. So, I mean, they more or less say that everything in UK is high welfare and high standard. So basically, you could walk into any farm tomorrow and you wouldn't see any of what we've exposed. So by highlighting also that this was Red Tractor, we've also shown that what people believe or what people think when they're buying certain products isn't true, and it's impossible for it to be true.
I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit more about what the actual investigation findings were, and maybe a visual description for people to picture what actually it was that the investigator found. So you mentioned piglets being thrown around, broken limbs. Can you tell us about what bar biting is, what that means?
Bar biting are stereotypes that it happens to every animal, including us. When you're confined in a small area and you basically can't move or can't do anything, basically you're just there sitting, standing up or laying down, you get these repetitive movements of bar biting or pacing or, you know, just moving up and down. And it's just a way for your brain, because you're stressed, and it's a way of kind of trying to alleviate that kind of stress, and you do it by repetitive movements. Basically, that's what animals do when they're confined in small places or under a lot of stress.
So to see a pig going through these repetitive motions indicates that they actually do have a psychology, that they have feelings, and that they are extremely frustrated to the point where they're going crazy and biting the bars because they have nothing else to do.
Yeah, obviously, yes.
I mean, it's hard to even imagine for ourselves. And to see this in the videos, it's absolutely horrifying. The investigator did take a journal and wrote down his findings from day to day. He wrote about sick or injured pigs not being cared for by veterinarians. He wrote about lacerations all over pigs' bodies, dead bodies that are dumped in illegal shallow pits to save money. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes. I mean, what he's describing is a day-to-day where he saw pigs also being killed with handlebars because they weren't profitable for the farm, and that's the only way they could do it. Pigs with big tumours and hernias. You could find very, very deep sores and wounds on pigs. As I said before, mothers crushing their piglets, constant beating of pigs because they couldn't move them properly, as they say, prolapses, piglets just dying in corners because they couldn't reach to their mothers or they couldn't reach to feed, piglets rotting also in feed. This just goes on and on and on. What he saw was just basically for him also to cope with all this, because he was, I mean, he was documenting something he knew it wasn't going to be, he knew it was going to be a hard job, but to actually be there day by day and just see how they just treated and how they just had no kind of empathy with other sentient beings was incredible. And the way he writes the diary and the way he expresses, and sometimes the way he feels very, very frustrated, because of course he's trying to document an investigation where there at the time he can't do anything, as you know, like he can't actually just run out and say, look, this is just bad, just we have to do something. I mean, he knew that his job was trying to do a long-term job to show the public that these weren't isolated cases, and he knew that there was a bigger picture, that when we expose this, people would realize it's not only about one farm, it's not only about this place, this happens constantly, and there's kind of one big solution to it, and he was trying to cope with all that at the same time.
Yeah, it's definitely important to think about the effectiveness of producing these really horrifying images. Here we have an investigator who was no doubt affected, traumatized by what he saw. So how would you respond to the potential critique that these images are too horrifying, that they potentially shut people down and turn people off from dealing with the realities of where their food come from? How would you respond to that?
I mean, if you turn a blind eye to injustice, you're just kind of being part of it, in the sense of, I mean, I know some of the images are very, very hard, and I know sometimes exposing this isn't easy because not everybody wants to see it, but that doesn't mean it stops. It doesn't exist. That doesn't mean, you know, it suddenly will disappear because you don't look at it. So we think it's important to expose these kind of things, and for people, even if they don't see all the video, or they don't see all the photos, they'll understand that something's happening, something's going on, something that's not correct, something that's not right. And the way that people are treating other animals, just because of matter of consumption, because of matter, in this case, of taste, as I said, even if they don't see everything, if they don't see all the photos, it does make a big difference, because I have seen, or I have heard of people saying, look, this is it. I've just seen so much of this. I've just seen so many investigations. That's enough. I will stop eating meat, or I'll go vegetarian, vegan. And that's basically our feedback and why we do these kind of investigations, because, I mean, it is worth it. And I think the animals deserve for people to tell their story.
So the importance of those images, it overrides that initial potential reaction of people saying, I don't want to see it. It's still important to put those images out there.
Yes, it is. I mean, we don't only do this kind of outreach. I mean, investigations is an important part of our work, but we also engage other kind of demonstrations, and we try to get people to be familiar of what's happening in other ways. But we do think that showing these kind of images and showing the reality of animals in today's society is important. I mean, these images are very, very difficult sometimes to see. But as you said, yes, I do think it's important for them to be out there.
I mean, what about people listening who are like, I've seen it all, I don't want to see anymore? I mean, this is something I've talked with Lauren Corman, host of Animal Voices, for the last 10 years about. I mean, continually subjecting ourselves to seeing these images. We know how horrible it is. Perhaps you've gone vegan because you've seen these images. But is there still something important about the notion of bearing witness to what's happening, you know, and continue to confront these images and not despair.
Yes, I mean, I do think that even though you think you've seen everything, and even though you think sometimes these images might be too hard for the public, as I said before, it doesn't mean it's stopped happening. Or, I mean, the images you've seen is from animals that maybe in the past, and those animals surely have ended up in a slaughterhouse. I mean, we have to continue telling the story, because people have a good way of forgetting about things very, very quickly. And maybe they see something and they're kind of, you know, for a few days they're really concerned. And have you seen this investigation? It's terrible. You know, I think I have to do something about it. I'm not very sure. And they get the information and we provide it. And then maybe a month later, they're just, you know, they've just gone back to their day-to-day life and to their normal way of living. And they kind of forget about everything because they're not constantly receiving the feedback of what's actually happening. So every now and then, just highlighting the situation, every now and then just exposing these kind of things also is kind of a way to remind people, you know, the animals are still there, the animals need you, the animals need your help and for you to do something. So I think it is important for them to see or to be aware of these kind of images.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying. And I think it's also important, too, that, I mean, in the video, it's not only visual, but it's auditory. We so often say that, you know, we're the voice of the voiceless and we need to speak for those who can't speak. But in this video, in this undercover investigation video, there's clearly the voices of those animals who are screaming in pain, who are screaming to be, you know, let free of these conditions. So I think, too, even just hearing the video is deeply disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It is, actually, because you can just hear their pain. I mean, you can just hear their suffering. I mean, it's like hearing a child cry. I mean, how can you just turn around and say, well, it'll just go away? I mean, that's why, as I said, it's so important. As you say, even if it's listening to their pain, it's listening to the situation they're going through. I mean, I think it's, yeah, I think it's really, really powerful, honestly.
You mentioned that animal equality doesn't just do undercover investigations. And we've actually had Sharon Nunez go on to talk about open rescues that animal equality does. And animal equality is so well known internationally for those open rescues. So what are some of the benefits and risks that come along with undercover investigations versus doing open rescues? Like, why was this an appropriate strategy at this time?
Well, basically, we've chosen to do an undercover investigation, a long-term undercover investigation here in UK, because we've never seen one here in the UK. I mean, the people have gone into farms and exposed slaughterhouses and other factory farms where they breed animals. But we actually had never kind of seen a long-term undercover in an actual, in this case, pig farm. So we've been over nearly 2 years here, and we've gone out and we've done demonstrations on the streets, we've done leaflets, information stalls, we've tried to engage the public in many, many ways, but we thought we needed kind of something a bit more powerful as for an investigation. And we realized that if we could do something like this, we could actually call a lot of people's attention, which hopefully we have. And we just thought it was the right moment and the right time to do it.
Laura, we're going to have to take a quick break for a station ID. You're listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CFBO 103.7 in St. Catharines. We're talking with Laura Goth, spokesperson for Animal Equality, about their undercover investigation of the British pig industry. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back afterwards with Laura Goth. Stay tuned.
Greetings, Animal Voices. It's Kevin from the Vegan Hip Hop Movement. This week's soundscape comes from Etef Vita, a.k.a. DJ Kabram Motivation. He is an internationally known hip-hop artist, environmental advocate, youth advocate, and political genius. He is currently employed as an eco-cultivator at Denver's Blue and Yellow Logic, a company devoted to transforming empty lots in urban communities into thriving and vibrant gardens. You can learn more about DJ Kabram Motivation and other vegan hip-hop artists on the Vegan Hip-Hop Movement Blogspot, Facebook, and MySpace pages. We are also steadily looking for other vegan hip-hop artists not represented on the Vegan Hip-Hop Movement pages. Now check out DJ Kabram Motivation's song Wheatgrass featuring C-Knowledge of Diggable Planets and Stickman of Dead Prez.
What the deal? Happy Black History Year. This is the Creamy Spy Agent Duke Togo, aka Cino the Doodlebug from that Diggable Planet. And I'm representing for my main man, DJ Kavum, Motivation. You know what I'm saying? From North Philly to the Mile High City, we do it like this, man. CFO All Stars. Peace.
You must cultivate the earth. Meditate. You must cultivate the earth. Plant seeds, meditate and take it in. You must cultivate the earth. Plant seeds, meditate and take it in. I got a job with some teens, teaching hip hop history and how to grow greens. Hard skills, big wheels, and it's the real deal. Green jobs, green thumbs up in the green field. And ain't nobody be ditching my class. I got the lifelong lessons, don't let your life pass. I got some knowledge on my mind, cause in divine I say divine, in the past time spit rhyme. So a sustainable kid don't assume, just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What's sustainable kid don't assume, just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What you learn, how to write rhymes, how to grow food. What you learn, how to meditate, how to fight with tools. So what you learn, how to unite, how to rap through. So what you learn, how to give back, how to pay dues. I watch my youth shine and elevate in 09. Cause when a cypher born, see you know I water sound. Breathe in, breathe out, and you let your power round. Leave your mark in the city and you skip town. Be impeccable on stage and hold it down. Do some Tai Chi, walk to this, follow me. A little bit of greens and some motivation. Gotta reach your seeds, gotta educate them. So a sustainable kid don't assume, just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What's sustainable, kid? Don't assume. Just break it down. See me and the teachers. What you learn? How to write rhymes, how to grow food. So what you learn? How to meditate, how to fight with tools. So what you learn? How to unite, how to rap through. So what you learn? How to give back, how to make do.
Yo. Teacher, teacher, tell me how you do it. Spit them jazz rhymes like there was nothing to it. Well look, I studied the greats and paid my dues. And I mastered my craft and made some moves. Then I hit the road with a couple of crews. That's when I learned the ways of these rock and roll dudes. We cruise the Milky Way, the sun, moon, and stars. To return to earth, to rebirth these slick bars. What you learn?
See, a sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What's sustainable, kid? Don't assume. Just break it down. See me and the teachers. What you learn? How to write rhymes, how to grow food. What you learn? How to meditate, how to fight with tools. What you learn? How to unite, how to rap through. So what you learn? How to give back, how to pay dues.
Sunlight on the sea would germinate it. Planting the rich soil and watch the water permeate it. Life is a cycle, harvest is celebrated. But if there's no growth, then life is exterminated. This is a science that was taught by the natives, who didn't seek to dominate nature, but innovated. Cultivation of crops, the law of regeneration. You reap what you sow, you only eat what you grow. Do you know?
So a sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What's sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers now. What you learn? How to write rhymes, how to grow food. What you learn? How to meditate, how to fight with tools. So what you learn? How to unite, how to rap through. So what you learn? How to give back, how to pay dues.
Raw fools, rockers. Raw fools, y'all. Rockers, yeah. Raw fools, rockers. Raw fools, y'all. Rockers. Raw fools, rockers.
80-20. Alkaline.
Raw fools,
by design.
Rockers, yeah. Raw fools, rock with
none process.
So a sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers. What's sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers. What you learn? How to write rhymes, how to grow food. What you learn? How to meditate, how to fight with tools. What you learn? How to unite, how to rap through. What you learn? How to give back, how to pay dues. So a sustainable kid don't assume. Just break it down, see me and the teachers.
You're listening to Animal Voices on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CFBU 103.7 in St. Catharines. We're talking with Laura Goh, spokesperson for Animal Equality in the UK, about their undercover investigation of the British pig industry. Before the break, we were chatting about the details of the investigation. You can watch the video on Animal Equality's website, animalequality.net. But I wanted to talk about the actual farmer. News broke after the RSPCA began an investigation after Animal Equality's video footage was released. And shortly after, the farmer, Stephen Brown, had been found dead in his home. And this was actually 2 days after Stephen Brown had been interviewed on BBC's Look East. Is there concern that Animal Equality's investigation will somehow be blamed for the death of the farmer?
We haven't been blamed directly. I think, of course, everybody, especially the media, has been very careful about it. And it's obviously not our fault in any case. Mm. And under no circumstances, we are responsible for his death. And I just want to keep that statement clear. To be honest, I think, first of all, the guy said he wasn't actually aware of what was happening, but we know that the undercover investigator highlighted on many occasions what was going on the farm. And he even actually, on the BBC show, he tried to explain why one of the pigs had been killed with a gate rod. And it was because the worker didn't have access to the gun or to the bolt gun or something like that. And he was trying to justify himself. So basically, just with that short information he gave on television, I mean, he knew what was happening on the farm. To say that he wasn't aware of the hernias and the tumours and the deep wounds and the burying of carcasses at the back of the farm, all these things that were happening. We understood that he was trying to, you know, hide himself, hide responsibilities and try to say, oh, I wasn't aware of this, you know, just the workers are the bad ones, I'm just, you know, the owner. But I think it did hit him quite hard, and you can see that he was trying to feel kind of upset. But as I said, he was aware of the whole situation. And I received a phone call, and they said that he had committed suicide. We were just kind of, look, I mean, this is terrible, but I mean, he was the owner of a pig farm where all this was happening, and he knew about it. So can't say much more about the whole situation. Mm.
It's certainly difficult to be compassionate.
Yeah, the words are a bit complicated in the sense of, you know, he was the owner of a pig farm where all these things were happening. He was signing papers every week for 160 pigs used to go to slaughter every Monday. Mm. And he was signing those papers and he was sending those animals to slaughter. So, I mean, he was aware of what was happening. He was aware of his company, we could say, and he was getting profit from killing other animals. So, I mean, it is complicated and it is difficult, but that doesn't change under no circumstances what we expose.
Yeah. Laura, I don't think we talked enough about the pigs themselves. Pigs are so often culturally vilified. So, for example, if you call someone a pig, that's a huge insult. Can we talk about some of the really negative stereotypes about pigs and perhaps dispel some of those negative perspectives about them that are so often circulated?
Yeah, like you said, I mean, usually when you want to insult someone, you call them a pig. Or, for example, we have this idea that pigs are kind of dirty animals, and they're actually not. They're very, very clean animals. They're deeply emotional animals and very, very social also. I mean, they are intelligent, and every single one of them has their own personality and creates their social ways of relating with other animals. People sometimes, they don't relate to, they don't think that pigs, in this case, are sentient beings and they're capable of suffering. I mean, it's been demonstrated in researches even that pigs can have, you know, they're optimists or pessimists depending on whether they live, you know, in a good environment or they don't. Mothers, for example, before having their piglets, look for a perfect place to be able to build a nest and have their piglets. And their instinct with them is very high, the same way as a mother instinct when they have a baby. And just, you know, imagine just going through having babies and being taken away from you constantly and not being able just to even look after them or know where they're going or things like that. I mean, it is and it must be very, very frustrating from them. And when you see the pictures of their eyes, you can definitely look into them and see that they're living in misery and they're living in pain, and they're very, very expressive. People should realize what kind of animals there are, and basically they're in no way much different from us.
I know that they've often been compared to dogs, actually. Yeah, what can you tell us about those sorts of comparisons?
Yeah, I mean, especially little piglets, the way they kind of run around, and they learn very quickly, and they're like dogs when they're puppies. You know, they're kind of always very, very curious and always looking for things, and kind of if you give them a treat, you know, you can see that they're really, really happy. And if they can sleep on a nice comfy cushion or bed, you know, they'll just relax. Yeah, I mean, the same as any other animals. In this case, like a dog, I mean, I've seen videos of kind of a dog and a small piglet just run around, the way they play with each other. I mean, you couldn't tell the difference, to be honest. When you see it, basically you get this big smile on your face, and you realize how they can enjoy their life.
I visited Farm Sanctuary a few times, and my favorite experiences there in Watkins Glen, New York, in the United States, was visiting with the pigs, who, you know, would nap in the afternoon, enjoy belly rubs. And it's interesting.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
It's so funny to see a massive pig flop over and just enjoy a good old belly scratch, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, some of their natural behaviors, like building a nest to nap in for the afternoon, those things would be frustrated in these industrial farming conditions. I think making those comparisons and being able to see them as individuals, which is so much of what animal equality's work is about, is to see those animals as individuals. Yeah, I think once we start unwrapping those layers, it makes it more real, and makes them more worth caring about. Because we're not taught to care about pigs, they're pork.
Yeah, exactly. That's another way the industry gives them other names. So we kind of, you know, we already cut that relation with the animals. They call them pork, or they call, you know, instead of birds, say poultry. You know, they try to label other as food instead of as animals. So we kind of, cut any relation to it with them, or try to feel empathy for them in any circumstance.
Laura, I want to ask you about strategies for activism, and hopefully you can share a little bit of advice for other activists who are hoping to, or who are currently engaging in campaigning on behalf of animals. So in the face of these really horrifying images that personally make me just want to shut down, what kind of advice can you give folks out there doing this sort of work? How do we continue to do it? How do we make it sustainable?
Well, first of all, we should always have in mind that, you know, we're doing this for a very, very, very good reason, and it's giving, as you say, voice to individuals who aren't capable of raising it. And having always that in mind, even if, you know, you're feeling really, really down and you think it's not worth it, or you've had a bad day because, you know, you just don't see any change, it's a long process, and that's something that you should always think and know. But we should always try to see this as, we could say, a long-term investigation for all of us. And we do have every now and then nice situations, like you say, for example, visiting a sanctuary is always very, very helpful, because you can see, you know, the good side of all the work you're engaging, and you can actually see certain individuals that have been rescued or have had an opportunity to live their lives, and to think about, you know, thanks to my work, even if it's not related directly to that individual, thanks to what I'm doing, thanks to my work, other animals, like the one I have in front of me, for example, in a sanctuary, has had the choice and has had the option to live a nice life. So, I mean, I know sometimes going through footage and going into these places and doing undercover investigation, it's hard. I mean, we've had contact with the undercover investigator in this case, and he's had tough times, and you get to a stage where you kind of, you know, think, you know, is it necessary? And then you realize when you show it to the public, feedback, when you see how everything is turning out, when you see people changing, when you see people saying, thank you very much, this has been my step to change my lifestyle, and, you know, I'm going to respect animals. It's worth it. In the end, it's all worth it. And as I say, we have our ups and downs, and it's always good to be surrounded by people which are very, very supportive, because we are social animals too, and we need always people that understand what we're doing and are supportive. And we always need kind of, you know, the good side of the story, as I said, about, you know, sometimes just, you know, seeing a sanctuary or listening to somebody or reading an email that's saying thank you very much, you know, thanks to your investigation or thanks to your work, I've changed my way of treating and seeing other individuals, is something we always have to have in mind. And I mean, there's no kind of perfect way of dealing with things, because we, each one of us, has different personality and different way of trying to continue with things we see. But I mean, as an advice, I would just say, always have in mind that, you know, this is something that will benefit a lot of individuals. Always try to have somebody close or friends that will always help you and be supportive. And even if you go through bad moments, always think that, you know, there's always a good end to it.
I think that's really optimistic and a positive way to look at things.
Yeah, you have to be, because if not, you just burn out and you just get to a state where you think it's not worth it. And I think, you know, the animals are worth it. And there's not a lot of people that fight for their rights in today's society. So by one person just, you know, walking away and said, I've had enough, it's, I mean, I understand it, but it's a way of kind of, you know, we have to continue. And I'm really keen. I mean, I've seen footage that I haven't been able to finish the video. I mean, I've gone through stages where I've been in places and then, yeah, you just go home and you're kind of, whoa, this is just too much. You know, is this really, are people going to really change? You know, this is just, it's massive. It's everywhere. You know, you just walk down the street and you see animals, you know, just hanging from places, and people seem that they don't really bother or they care. And can't they realize what's really happening? But I mean, little by little, I know it's a long process, but it's worth it. I mean, a lot of people are changing. I mean, we always have good feedback, and people constantly working makes other people want to work and other activists wants to get involved. And it's something that in the end will always add, and little by little, those little things will make a big difference.
I appreciate what you're saying. It's definitely difficult to negotiate with that sense of urgency. Like, this needs to stop now. But what you're saying about looking at it as a long-term process, working so unfortunately slowly towards better conditions for animals.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, because sometimes, as you say, you know, I want this to finish now, I want this to stop now. But, I mean, it has stopped for a lot of animals. I mean, there's a lot of individuals that have been saved thanks to somebody going vegan, for example. I mean, the animals that aren't born or aren't, don't go through that life thanks to that person turning vegan is incredible. So, I mean, this fight is an everyday fight. It's, you know, trying for people to see what those animals go through and try to show them that the best option is to stop demanding for their products. And there's also exposing the animal industry to show, you know, what's really happening. There's a lot of things. I mean, you have to kind of approach and try to do, but as I said, I think one of the good ways is always bearing in mind that, you know, it is a long process, but it is worth it.
Thanks. I hope that encourages folks listening not to despair and to keep on contributing to better lives for animals everywhere. So thank you. I don't know what to say, right? It's hard to watch these videos, and I personally feel myself shutting down and almost not even feeling, being able to feel, not being able to react anymore to these videos, which is scary too, because I don't want to shut down. I want to be open, and I want to be able to feel. So it's just really hard to negotiate, but I do, like I said, I appreciate what you're saying about just trying to see it as more of a long-term project and not despair in that process.
What you say about shutting down, it's normal. It's a defense kind of way of trying to cope with constant images of what we see of suffering, of pain. We've all done that, and it's a way that, you know, you just see something and you kind of feel, whoa, that does that really affect me now anymore, or can I actually see it? Or But it's just the way I think our brain copes with, you know, these kind of images. And it's just a way of saying, okay, you know, I have to carry on, I have to keep on working. But in the long run, it does kind of affect us in some way. I mean, I've seen it myself, you know, maybe, for example, an undercover investigator go through an investigation or do an investigation and maybe more or less thought that he's coped with quite well, and then suddenly he's just one day he's just really feeling really, really down, and it's kind of, it's all come back to him. And, you know, you just have kind of that day where you think everything's terrible and you just don't want to, you know, get out of bed, and you think, you know, is it worth it? But I mean, it's normal. I mean, we're seeing things that we just want people to realize, and it's not always easy. But I mean, we all go through these stages. But as I said, we always have to keep in mind when we're really, really feeling down and really think it's not worth it, we always have to think of those individuals that are there, and really, they can't do anything, and you can, and you can convince people also to do something. So that's why I said always to keep in mind, or things like going to Sanctuary or seeing videos or listening to stories or having people or support is very, very important, because it's what makes you, you know, stand up again and just continue.
Laura, I saw on the Animal Equality website, there's yet another undercover video investigation of a pig farm in Spain. And there are these really horrifying images of pigs being literally stabbed with swords. Can you tell us about this?
Well, yeah, it's an incredible case where one of the farmers, which was actually recording these videos, he just started recording the way they were killing pigs, basically, like you say, stabbing them with swords. In another case, they're hitting a pig with a metal bar, and then they're cutting her abdomen open to pull out piglets. The footage is just very, very shocking. And what I was explaining before is the farmer was recording it, and I think he just saw something wrong in the whole situation, and he called our group in Spain and said, look, I mean, I just have this, I don't know what to do with it. I just don't know how to deal with it. So yeah, we thought, look, if we can have the footage, we just expose it and show people, you know, what is going on with this farm, and try to do something with it. I mean, the authorities were informed of the case and they're involved now. I think they're doing an investigation. And we were just trying to tell the people these things have to stop. I mean, for example, in this case, I mean, this farm would have to close down. We heard that the owner said that the workers were sacked, but even though, I mean, these animals have gone through, I think it was since 2009 that they did this every week or something like that. And it's just outrageous how, I mean, anybody who's seen the footage, everybody said, look, what's this? I mean, nobody in their mind could think this is okay or this is not too bad. I mean, I think everybody has had the same reaction of, oh my God, what is happening here? So that's why we've also tried to link it to the other investigation we had in Spain of over 172 pig farms, which we investigated in the course of 2 years, and show the people. I mean, definitely killing animals with swords isn't happening in every single farm, but the suffering of animals is. So people have to start understanding, you know, if this farm didn't exist and if this place never had these workers killing in this way these animals, we would have saved a lot of pain. So as we go on again, we say, look, if you stop demanding products, if you adopt a vegan lifestyle, this would never happen. So the only way to stop it from happening now to the future is that option.
Right. And I really appreciate what you're saying, that, again, people who would potentially argue that, you know, this is just an isolated case of cruelty. In the case of these pigs being literally stabbed to death with swords,
yeah,
this is an exceptionally horrifying case.
Yeah.
But yeah, among a sea of absolutely unimaginable cruelty. So our moral obligation isn't just to stop buying pig-based products from that farm in particular, but to not support the industry in general.
Exactly. That's always our message. It's not about this particular farm. It's about the whole industry. It's about, we are giving money to people who get profit of inflicting suffering and inflicting pain on animals, and they get money from killing animals. So basically, if we want to stop this, we have to stop funding the industry.
We're actually down to the last few minutes of the show. So for people that want to get involved, how can they help out with animal equality, and what are some of the easiest ways to support your work?
Anybody who wants to get informed of what we do and different work we do, they can visit our website on animalequality.net. There's also a take action form they can fill out, and they can collaborate with us. They can send us an email to info@animalequality.net if they're interested in our activities. We've also got Facebook, which would be just facebook.com/animalequality. And we have activities every month. We update with the latest news. They can get informed of our investigations. If they want to get more involved, as I say, just send us a quick email. They can also subscribe themselves to our newsletter. And if they are interested in becoming an activist, they can also help by giving a donation, which will help us with materials and investigations. Also, as I said, the best thing they can do, to be honest, if they want to help us and the animals, is adopting a vegan lifestyle.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Exactly.
So go vegan.
That is the quickest and best way they can help us and the animals. It's just, yeah, going vegan.
Well, hopefully we've inspired some people to at least give it a try, find out more information on the Animal Equality website, and potentially get involved and help support and continue the amazing work that you all are doing. Laura Goh, thank you so much for joining us on Animal Voices.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And that's all the time we have. So, as always, if you want to contact the Animal Voices team with comments, questions, or suggestions for show ideas, please email us at animalvoices@gmail.com. Check out our website, animalvoices.ca, to access the podcast of this show and to find out more about animal equality. We'll have links up on that web page, along with over 300 other shows. Thank you to our audio technicians, Neil Harvey and Aaron O'Sullivan. And thank you again to Daniel Anganon for his work producing today's show. Animal Voices is produced in St. Catharines at CFBU 103.7 FM. And of course, since 1996, Animal Voices has been broadcasting from CIUT 89.5 FM, University of Toronto's community radio station. You can also listen to Animal Voices on iTunes Radio under the College University category, Star Choice Channel 826, or Rogers Digital Cable Channel 946. I'm Catherine Brigantino. Thanks very much for listening.